Well, today we are continuing a series we're calling Breakthrough, because that's exactly what many of us need right here at the first of the year. We're looking for breakthrough, breaking the habits that are holding us back. And because one of the things that we said last week is that it's not just going to be our hopes for a new year, new you, but it will be our habits that ultimately determine the direction of our life. It'll be our habits that make the difference, whether it is a new year, new you, or a new year, same you. The difference will be our habits. And so we've been looking at some of those. Now, here's the question that we are asking, because as we saw last week we looked at making excuses. We said, how can we stop making excuses and start taking responsibility for our life? By the way, if you missed that message, you can go back and you can catch up pretty quickly on our app. And I love the text and the emails that I got, some of the conversations that you had around your table with your kids and with your spouse about making excuses. So you can go back and you can catch up on that on our app. Hey, speaking of our app too, I want you to know that you can take all your notes there. So all the fill in the blanks, everything that we're going to do today, it's all there. You tap on the Worship Together tab in our app, and it's right there. And by the way, you can take notes digitally, and you can hit save, and they're there for later reference. But we're talking about habits because, as we said last week, 40% of what we do on any given day is due to habitual behavior. It's just like automatic. It's almost unconscious. It's just the thing that we do, 40% of what we do. So it makes sense that we would pay attention to our habits. But here's specifically the question that we're asking. We're asking the question, are my habits making me more or less like Christ? For the Jesus follower, or for that is the question that we're asking. Now, if your habits are making you more like Christ, it's actually increasing the desire that you have to become like Christ. You can actually feel within you this desire to live more like Him, to be more like Him, to love more like Him, to serve more like Him, to worship the Father like He worshiped the Father. Now, if your habits are not doing that for you, it does not mean that you are a bad person. It just means that you might have some bad habits. And this is really important for us to talk about, because habits left unchecked can become spiritual strongholds in our lives. And spiritual strongholds can take hold of our life and hold us back from the things that God has created us for. Paul warns us of this. The apostle Paul warns believers when he says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you will be changed from the inside out. So we are looking at habits that hold us back from that inside out change that Paul promises and that Scripture promises. Now, there are a lot of different habits that we could talk about. I'm just going to be honest with you. I picked the ones that I struggle with, in hopes that maybe it will help some of you. Now, speaking of help, let's pray. Father, we ask for your help. We are here today, those watching online. We are here because we need to hear a word from you. So we ask that you would give us help. And we acknowledge the fact that you have given us help. You have given us a helper. You've given us the gift of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you help us? Help us to see whatever it is that we need to see today. Help us to hear whatever it is that you have for us to hear today. And we want to see Jesus and only Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today we're looking at a habit that's a little bit like the one last week of making excuses. We're looking at a habit that is powerful in our life because it is almost unconscious. It's one of those things that, as Paul said, we do without even thinking. It is a habit that is destructive to faith. It is a habit that will rob you of the joy in your life. In fact, it will rob the joy of the lives of the people around you left unchecked. Today, we're talking about the habit of cynicism. An attitude, here's the definition of cynicism, an attitude of scornful or jaded negativity, especially a general distrust of the integrity or professed motives of others. Now, you may be thinking, out of all the things that we could have talked about this morning, why are we talking about cynicism? Maybe you're thinking, I don't struggle with cynicism. Well, that's why we're talking about it this morning. Because it is hard for us to see it in ourselves. Now, it's easy for us to see it in other people, right? I mean, it's easy for us to look at somebody else and say, man, they are cynical. But when we see it in ourselves, we don't call it cynicism. What do we call it? Realism. I mean, I'm not being cynical. I'm just calling it like I see it. I'm just keeping it real up in here, right? Yeah, that's the way we see it when we see it in ourselves. Other people, we can see cynicism, but and this is why it's so powerful. This is why I believe it is becoming the dominant spirit of our age. Don't believe me? Just go on to social media. Look at the comments. Forget social media. Just look at the way that we interact with one another, the way that we talk with one another. Just look over the last few years, the way that we engage with one another. There is a spirit of cynicism that is growing in our culture to the point that it is almost the air that we breathe, to the point that we don't even realize we're breathing it, which makes us susceptible to it. Now, here's why this is so important. Because cynicism, it kills relationships. It kills our relationships with others. Now, specifically, if you are here today and you are a Jesus follower and you're asking the question, are my habits making me more or less like Jesus? And you're wanting to become more Christ-like and you're wanting your witness to have power to a world so that other people can know the hope that you have. If that's you and you're here today, then I want you to know that cynicism will kill your witness. Because it kills the relationships that you have with those around you. But it will also kill your relationship with God. Now, if you're here and you're not a Jesus follower, let's say you're here today and you're still skeptical and you're not really sure what you believe yet, but it's a new year and you're here kicking the tires. Maybe you are exploring the claims of Christ for the very first time. Don't go anywhere. I want you to lean in. Today's message is going to help you with life. Because cynicism will kill the relationships in your life. But it will also kill the relationship with God. Now, here's why. Because cynicism stands in defiance of hope, of trust, and of belief. Those things that nurture and cultivate a life in God, cynicism will kill those things. So, we're going to look at this. Now, we don't really start in a place of becoming cynical. That's not really what we set out for, okay? None of us really set out to become cynical, right? We start out with youthful optimism and idealism and somehow along the way. So if cynicism is so destructive in our lives, then how do we drift into it so quickly? Well, we probably don't ever look in someone's yearbook and see that they set out for it. We don't see, you know, in 20 years, you know, I see myself as a snarky, sarcastic fault finder with low expectations of other people's motives that people, I don't know, people avoid at parties. You probably don't see that kind of thing in the 20 years from now because we don't set out to become cynical. So if we don't start there, how do we get there? In a word, knowledge. Life happens. In fact, Solomon, who is one of the wisest people ever to live, he says this in Ecclesiastes. He says, "For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." Well, that's cheery. And it's right there in the Bible. The more knowledge, the more grief. But here's what you know. You live long enough, life happens. We start out with youthful optimism and idealism, but then life happens. Your parents separate. That boyfriend hurt you. that person that you were supposed to be able to trust. Maybe it was that one person in the whole world that you were supposed to be able to trust. Maybe it was that pastor or that politician, but it turns out that they were untrustworthy. Maybe it's that employee that just happens to call in sick every single Monday morning. We just kind of start to like side-eye the entire world. Maybe it's that person you counseled with, spent time with, ministered to, you walked with them. And then they just walked away from the church. You asked them why, and they said, well, you're just not feeding me. Did I mention that this is one that I struggle with as well? Okay, just making sure that we're covered on that. Here's what happens. We stop seeing people. Here's the problem with cynicism. We stop seeing people for who they really are, and we only see the potential hurt that they can bring us. And we begin to isolate ourselves. And that's one of the reasons why it kills relationships. You know, we have a saying. It says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Nobody wants to be fooled twice. Nobody wants to, in fact, we will do everything that we can. This is kind of the thing about our culture. We will do everything that we can to avoid looking foolish or to avoid being taken advantage of. And I get that. I mean, there's a healthy skepticism that we need in our world today. There's no doubt about that. But we don't want to look foolish. So what happens is we start to let this defense mechanism of cynicism rise up. Cynicism presents itself as a solution to the problem, because we don't want to feel that pain. Whatever that pain is, whatever the source of that pain is, we don't want to feel it. And so cynicism is this defense mechanism that comes up. The walls come up in the mode of self-preservation. But the problem is, even though it presents itself as a solution to the problem is it works too well. You see, cynicism begins to overcorrect. It begins to overcompensate. And what happens is it begins to put calluses around your heart. What starts as a defense mechanism, it works too well. It overcorrects. Your heart, it gets hard. Even to the point that Paul said this. He said, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Even the message of the cross can become foolish when that callus starts to come around our heart. And we can't even begin to see the message of the cross for what it is. That's the cost of cynicism. So cynicism, it's not an intentional decision that we make, at least not a conscious decision. But I want us to see that it is a decision nevertheless. So here's what I want to challenge us today. This year, I want to challenge us to make a different decision. To start today making a different decision. Instead of a decision or a vote for cynicism, today make a decision to, number one, hope again. Make a decision today to hope again. Now, I want you to notice the word hope, okay? Didn't say be optimistic again. Hope and optimism, they're two different things. Optimism is a wonderful personality trait. In fact, we love being around optimistic people, don't we? Why? Because they always believe that things are going to work out. That's kind of me. I'm just, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. But that's optimism. When the Bible speaks of hope, and when I'm asking you to hope again, it's something different. You see, while optimism believes that things will turn out better, hope believes that things will make sense even if they don't turn out better. We're talking about a hope that transcends the circumstances in your life. We're talking about a hope that transcends the pain in your life. This is why the Hebrew writer says this. He says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and strong. This hope is an anchor. It's sure, it's strong, it's steadfast. It holds us. When the pain comes, when the winds come, when the storms come, we have this hope. Why is it such an anchor for the soul? Because hope comes from the God of all hope. Sometimes we close our services like this with Romans 15, 13. The God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what? Hope. So that you may overflow with hope. The source of hope is the God of hope. To the point that the Apostle Paul, again, writes this in Romans 5 and 5. He says, now hope does not disappoint. Or some versions say, this hope does not put you to shame. Okay, this hope will not fool you. This hope, now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So why can we hope again? We can hope again, number one, because hope is tied to the God of hope. But I want you to notice this verse. I want you to just notice just a nuance here. It's because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. You can hope again because of God's love for you. This is an important distinction because we Christians, we Jesus followers especially, sometimes get this a little backwards. Because we start to think that our hope is tied to our love for God. Well, guess what kind of hope that is? You see, if my hope is anchored to my love for God, it is going to ebb and flow. But if my hope is anchored to God's love, it does not ebb. It only flows. It flows steady, sure, strong. You see, hope isn't anchored to my love for God. It is anchored to his love for me, and he has poured that love into my heart by the power of his Holy Spirit. This is why we can hope again. We can hope again, and number two, we can trust again. At the very core of cynicism is distrust. Distrust of everything and anything. You see, the problem with cynicism is that it does its job too well. It takes us from this place of healthy skepticism that says you can't believe everything to a place of you can't believe anything. You can't trust anything, anyone. And it destroys our relationships with others. It destroys our relationship with God. But there is this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Proverbs, the writer in Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with some of your heart. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with most of your heart. It says trust in the Lord with all you have, all your heart, all that you are. This goes back to Romans 15, 13 that we talked about. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? What is this telling us? This is telling us that the key to hoping again is being able to trust again. Now, you've likely got people in your life right now that you can't trust. We'll just acknowledge that. At least for right now, you can't completely trust them. But you can completely trust God. Because he has completely trustworthy. He has never broken a promise. A lot of times when I talk with people and then they say, you know, I'm having a hard time. And maybe this is where you are right now. You're just having a hard time trusting other people, but you're having a hard time with even the thought of trusting God. And many times when I'm talking to people who are in that place, they're having a hard time trusting God. I say, what's going on there? And what they begin to speak of God as if he has all these human attributes. Well, God isn't like us. He's beyond us. He's above us. God doesn't get to the end of the day and say, whew, I sure didn't see that coming. God doesn't say, well, guys, I've been thinking about it and I've been seeing what's going on and, well, we're going to go a different direction. I do that as a leader. I do that on a daily basis. I do get surprised. God does not. He does not change his mind. He does not change the direction. He doesn't say, well, if I would have known then what I know now, I mean... But guys, yet we speak about God as if he's like us. And he is not. And that is the reason I trust him. I trust him because he is beyond all human attributes. He is all-knowing. He is all-loving. He's all-present. You can hope again when you begin to trust again. And number three, believe again. When hope becomes an anchor for your soul and you begin to trust God with all your heart, then cynicism will give way to belief. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 11:6. He says, without faith, no one can please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who truly want to find him. Maybe you're here today and this is kind of where you're caught. You're stuck. Can I really believe? I want you to know that God does not ask you to just blindly or naively believe in him. Faith is much deeper than that. God doesn't ask you to pray a prayer and then live as if he doesn't live in you. God doesn't ask us to make a bunch of, to check all the boxes of religion to somehow impress him or somehow impress others around us. Look at how religious I am. Look at how spiritual I am. That's not what he asks for. What he asks for is for you to simply believe in his son. He asks us to believe that he sent his son and that his son came to save us from what we could not save ourselves from. We had a problem with sin and death, and we could do nothing about either one of them. So, can you believe it? He asks us to believe that Jesus came, but that Jesus knows us, that he knew who we really are, that he saw us for who we really are, that he saw us sin-soaked, sin-stained, cynical, yet he decided to come anyway. He asks us to believe in a God that believes in us. Can you believe it? You know, the thing about cynicism, the thing about cynics is cynics never really change the world. Well, because for one thing, they don't really believe that the world can change. But 2,000 years ago, there were a group of cynics that found themselves on the wrong side of the gospel. You see, it looked like the plan had worked. It was Friday, and it looked like the plan had worked flawlessly. Jesus was dead. The disciples were scared. They were scattered. Some of them were fishing. No one was hoping. No one was trusting. Not on Friday and not on Saturday. The cynics thought they had won. In fact, the disciples thought they had won too. No one was hoping. No one was trusting. No one was believing. But no one saw Sunday coming. No one knew that God was on the move. And no one knew that God was about to call his son out of that grave. And on the third day, Jesus was going to rise from the dead. You see, no one knew that hate was about to be met by love. No one knew that despair was about to be met by hope. No one knew that sorrow was about to be met by joy. No one knew that death was about to get a beat down by the creator of life. But that was Friday, and that was Saturday. And that's where a lot of cynics get stuck. Friday and Saturday, no hope, no trust, no belief. Yet hope can see Sunday coming. Can you believe it? Can you? Can you believe it? Cynicism is not a conscious decision, but it is a decision nonetheless. Can we choose this year to hope again, to trust again, believe again? Now, I want to give you some practical, we're going to end with just some practical things. Maybe all of that is just right now where you are in your life. Maybe it's a stretch. Please don't give up. Please keep seeking. Please keep searching. We are all on a spiritual journey somewhere, no matter how long we follow Jesus. Discipleship is a direction. It's not a destination and, oh, we've arrived. Please keep seeking. Please keep searching. But if all that is too much of a stretch for you, I promise that this message would be practical. So here it is. Here's some practical notes. Now, before we get into that, I just want to say one thing. If you're stuck in cynicism, and maybe you have actually been aware of it. Maybe you see it for what it is. And maybe you've even called out to God to break through it. It's hard to get away from. And maybe you find yourself just kind of sucked right back into it. If that's the case, I want to encourage you. There may be some unresolved pain there that you need to deal with first. Now, there are a lot of ways that you can do that. You can get counseling. You can go see a therapist. But I want to encourage you to deal with that pain. Don't ignore it. Cynicism, the reason why we like it, even though it puts a callus around our heart, is because as long as that's there, we don't have to deal with the pain, right? So here's some practical things beyond that. Number one, be curious. Be curious. Romans 12, too. This is a different version of it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some of you, you're wondering right now, what is God's will for my life? Well, let me tell you, you're going to come closer to it the more you renew your mind. Be curious. Be curious about Scripture. Get into the Word of God. We have a YouVersion app. On the YouVersion app, we have a Bible reading plan through the book of Luke. It's called Breakthrough. You just go into YouVersion and you look for the Breakthrough. It should be reading through the book of Luke. I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe your next step, next week, January 15th, we've got a class that's starting called Following Jesus. It's going to help you learn how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to pray, what is fasting all about? Maybe that's a step of just a step of curiosity, if nothing else. But be curious. Be curious about other people. Ask open-ended questions. Ask the question, why? Why not? You see, cynics stop asking those questions because there's really nothing to learn. Be a learner. Be curious about life. The second thing, be curious. Be in community. James 1 tells us this. Understand this. My dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. When cynicism starts to take hold of our heart, one of the first things that we do is we isolate ourselves. Because some of that pain has come from people, and we want to be as far away from people as we possibly can. Listen, if you want to overcome cynicism, then get back in the game. Get back in the game, and you will be needed, you will be known, and that's a little scary because that means you're going to be vulnerable. But that step of vulnerability may be the thing that is going to give you the breakthrough, breaking through cynicism. So be in community. We have groups that are starting up all the time, especially right here at the first of the year, groups all over the city starting up all the time. Maybe you want to start your own small group. Maybe you want to join a small group. But I want to encourage you, be curious and be in community. And finally, be a servant. Cynics don't typically serve people, partly because people don't deserve to be served. So when you serve, you are casting a vote for yourself as a person who is not cynical. You are saying, I am the kind of person who serves and believes the best in other people. So I want to encourage you, if you've never served, maybe it's a ministry here at Oak Hills, I want to encourage you to get in the game, to serve. And all these things, whether it's the YouVersion or the class or getting in community, all these things you can find out about in our app. You just go in the app and you can find out more about those things or Connection Central today. But the point is, take a step. I don't know what your step is, but if you want to break through cynicism, it's going to require taking a step. And maybe your number one step is receiving Christ. You see, when Jesus came and he hung on a cross, he broke the power of sin. We sang earlier, death doesn't have a grip on me. Sometimes we sing, sin doesn't have a grip on me. Why? Because that stronghold of sin, that stronghold of death, Jesus broke it. So why don't you live in it? Live in the strength of Christ. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop trying to do it all on your own. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. This can be the year of breakthrough. And I don't know if maybe cynicism is one of those things that you just think, I can't break through that. Well, you can. Because you can hope again. You can trust again. And you can get to the place where you can believe again.